In this consideration is the perfection of the mind's illumination, when, as if on the sixth day of creation, it sees man made to the image of God. For if an image is an expressed likeness, when our mind contemplates in Christ the Son of God, who is the image of the invisible God by nature, our humanity, so wonderfully exalted, so ineffably united, when at the same time it sees united the first and the last, the highest and the lowest, the circumference and the center, the Alpha and the Omega, the caused and the cause, the creator and the creature, that is, the book written within and without, it now reaches something perfect. It reaches the perfection of its illuminations on the sixth stage, as if God on the sixth day of creation, nor does anything more remain except the day of rest, on which, through mystical ecstasy, the mind's discernment comes to rest from all the work that it has done. Chapter 7. On Spiritual and Mystical Ecstasy, in which rest is given to our intellect, when through ecstasy our affection passes over entirely into God. We have therefore passed through these six considerations. They are like the six steps of the true Solomon's throne, by which we arrive at peace, where the true man of peace rests in a peaceful mind, as in the interior Jerusalem. They are also like the six wings of the seraph, by which the mind of the true contemplative can be borne aloft, filled with the illumination of heavenly wisdom. They are also like the first 6 days in which the mind has been trained so that it may reach the Sabbath of rest. After our mind has beheld God outside of itself, through his vestiges and in his vestiges, within itself, through his image and in his image, and above itself, through the similitude of the divine light shining above us and in the light itself. In so far as this is possible, in our state as wayfarers, and through the exercise of our mind, when finally in the sixth stage our mind reaches that point where it contemplates in the first and the supreme principle, and in the mediator of God and man, Jesus Christ, those things whose likenesses can in no way be found in creatures, and which surpass all penetration by the human intellect, it now remains for our mind. By contemplating these things, we transcend and pass over not only this sense world, but even itself. In this passing over, Christ is the way and the door. Christ is the ladder and the vehicle, like the mercy seat placed above the ark of God and the mystery hidden from all eternity. Whoever turns his face fully to the mercy seat, and with hope, faith, and love, devotion, admiration, exaltation, appreciation, praise, and joy, beholds him hanging upon the cross, such a one makes the Pasch, that is, the Passover, with Christ. By the staff of the cross, he passes over the Red Sea, going from Egypt into the desert, where he will taste the hidden manna, and with Christ he rests in the tomb, as if dead to the outer world, but experiencing as far as possible in this wayfarer's state what was said on the cross to the thief who adhered to Christ, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." This was shown also to Blessed Francis, when in ecstatic contemplation on the height of the mountain, "Where I thought out these things I have written, there appeared to him a six-winged seraph fastened to a cross, as I and several others heard in that very place from his companion who was with him then. There he passed over into God in an ecstatic contemplation, and became an example of perfect contemplation, as he had previously been in of action, like another Jacob of Israel, so that through him, more by example than by word, God might invite all truly spiritual men to this kind of passing over and spiritual ecstasy. In this passing over, if it is to be perfect, all intellectual activities must be left behind, and the height of our affection must be totally transferred and transformed into God. This, however, is mystical and most secret, which no one knows except him who receives it. No one receives except him who desires it, and no one desires except him who is inflamed in his very marrow by the fire of the Holy Spirit, whom Christ sent into the world. And therefore the Apostle says that this mystical wisdom is revealed by the Holy Spirit. Since, therefore, in this regard, nature can do nothing and effort can do little, little importance should be given to inquiry, but much to unction. Little importance should be given to the tongue, but much to inner joy. Little importance should be given to the words and to the writing, but all to the gift of God, that is, the Holy Spirit. Little or no importance should be given to creation, but all to the creative essence, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, saying with Dionysius, "To God the Trinity, Trinity, superessential, superdivine, and supereminent, overseer of the divine wisdom of Christians, direct us into the superunknown, superluminous, and most sublime summit of mystical communication. There, new, absolute, and unchangeable mysteries of theology are hidden in the superluminous darkness of a silence, teaching secretly in the utmost obscurity, which is supermanifest, a darkness which is so super resplendent, and in which everything shines forth, and which fills to overflowing invisible intellects with the splendors of invisible goods that surpass all good. This is said to God. But to the friend to whom these words were written, let us say with Dionysius, but you, my friend, concerning mystical visions, with your journey more firmly determined, leave behind your senses and intellectual activities, sensible and invisible things, all non-being and being, and in this state of unknowing be restored, in so far as possible, to unity with him, who is above all essence and knowledge. For transcending yourself and all things by the immeasurable and absolute ecstasy of a pure mind, leaving behind all things and freed from all things, you will ascend to the spiritual essential ray of the divine darkness. But if you wish to know how these things come about, ask grace, not instruction, desire, not understanding, the groaning of prayer, not diligent reading. The spouse, not the teacher. God, not man. Darkness, not clarity. Nor light, but the fire that totally inflames and carries us into God by ecstatic unctions and burning affections. This fire is God, and his furnace is in Jerusalem, and Christ enkindles it in the heat of his burning passion, which only he truly perceives who says, "My soul chooses hanging, and my bones death." So whoever loves this death can see God, because it is true beyond doubt that man will not see me and live. Let us then die and enter into the darkness. Let us impose silence upon our cares, our desires, and our imaginings. With Christ crucified, let us pass out of this world to the Father, so that when the Father is shown to us, we may say with Philip, "It is enough for us." Let us hear with Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." Let us rejoice with David, saying, "My flesh and my heart have grown faint. You are the God of my heart, and the God that is my portion forever. Blessed be the Lord forever." And all the people will say, "Let it be, let it be. Amen." Here ends the soul's journey into God.